brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today and tomorrow, we take a look at the book of Ezra. Now, the book of Ezra, I don't have the time to fully explain it, but I just want to situate it for you. This would have been written probably around 458 BC, and this was the time when people were returning from exile. It was the first return from exile and the rebuilding of the temple. So this is the time period in which the book of Ezra was written. We read from chapter 6 of the book of Ezra, chapter 6, verses 7, 8, then verse 12, then verses 14 to 20. King Darius issued an order to the officials of the west of Euphrates. Let the governor and the elders of the Jews continue the work on that house of God. They are to rebuild it on its former site. I also issue this decree concerning your dealing with these elders of the Jews in the rebuilding of that house of God. From the royal revenue, from the taxes of west of Euphrates, let these men be repaid for their expenses in full and without delay. I, Darius, have issued this decree. Let it be carefully executed. So the king allows them to return and to rebuild. The elders of the Jews continue to make progress in the building, supported by the message of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo. They finished the building according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus and Darius, of Artaxerxes, king of Persia. They completed this house on the third day of the month Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. The children of Israel, priests, Levites, and the other returned exiles celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, together with 12 he-goats as a sin offering for all Israel, in keeping with the number of the tribes of Israel. Finally, they set up the priests in their classes and the Levites in their divisions for the service of God in Jerusalem, as is prescribed in the book of Moses. The exiles kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. The Levites, every one of whom had purified himself for the occasion, sacrificed the Passover for the rest of the exiles, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. So here's the beginning of the return. They have completed the temple of God, and they eat the Passover again. They begin again to celebrate more fully the feasts that they were deprived of. But remember, brothers and sisters, they went into exile because they didn't listen to the Lord. And that's true today. And they were in exile for years upon years. And they went into exile not once, but many times. And it's because once they got settled and everything seemed okay, they started to stray. When they were really under pressure, they would turn to God. But then the false gods of other people occupying land similar, not right there with them, but they certainly saw it. And they thought, why can't we have both? That was what happened to them sometimes. Why can't we have both? We can follow God and we can do this. Well, if your allegiance is divided, brothers and sisters, if your allegiance is divided, what's going to happen eventually? And it did again and again and again. And they repent again and again and again. And they return again and again and again. It's just the history of God's people. We aren't very good at remaining faithful to what we promise God. But now, brothers and sisters, we have the death of Christ and we have the life of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us that makes it possible. But we have a free will. And look how divided we are in the world today. We may go to church on Sunday, but what do we do the other 6 days? Is our whole life integrated? Is it in keeping with our faith? Or do we simply do external actions so it looks like we're Catholic, and then we just go off and be part of the world with all of its values and priorities? You can't do that. Really, if your life is in that position, you need to ask God for the power to change, because you're being divided. And at some point, there will be a break. You can't maintain that all your life. Some kind of dual allegiance. I like what the world has to offer. God's important. So yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I go most Sundays. That's not being a Christian. That's performing a Christian act. But what makes you a Christian is that you take God's word and allow it to form you and shape you, and that your thoughts, words, and actions become more and more united, all for the glory of God, not for self. Look at that, brothers and sisters. Pay attention. Psalm 122, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. And that's what the exiles did. God was kind to them. He gave them another chance. They're returning from exile and are happy for that. But then it doesn't take long. And you just see, this is the human condition. Even though they know as they're returning, oh my gosh, the slave labor, the hardships we endured, the pain, the suffering, the death we endured, we will never stray from God again. And lo and behold, not many years distant, we get enticed again by the world. Oh, well, we could just have a little of this. I'm still clearly committed to Christ, but just a little bit of this or a little bit of that. A lot of people are doing a lot worse. I'm better than a lot of people. Better than a lot of people doesn't qualify you as a disciple. Disciple has a clear intention and motivation. A disciple gives up all duplicity, that is to be double-minded, to want both. You can't want the kingdom of the world and its values and the kingdom of God and its values. It won't work. You have to choose. The gospel today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 19 to 21. The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they wish to see you." And he said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. Now, Jesus loved his mother. Jesus loved all his family relatives. And he's not discarding them. But he is saying, you who desire to follow me, who commit yourself to follow my will, you become as brother and sister and mother to me. Jesus is saying, in other words, you can enter into a deep family relationship by committing yourself to do the will of God. That takes away all duplicity, takes away all double-mindedness, as I said. It takes it away because you make a choice. Jesus has said it so clearly, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you want to get rid of one for the other. Can't do it. And if you're trying to do it and you think you're successful, you're not. And the foundation will crumble because it's very weak. And it could lead to your destruction. I'm not saying this lightly. A lot of us are trying to serve two masters, the world and God. Scriptures say, choose that you may know life. There is only one choice that leads to life. The other choice will lead to death. Eternal death is possible. So take a look, brothers and sisters. Jesus made it very clear, my mother and my brothers, that is, those who are in the closest intimate relationship with me, my mother and my brothers, are those who hear the word of God and act on it. A lot of people can quote scripture. They don't act on it. A lot of people in pride, oh, I know that I know the gospel, that's chapter 7, verse 19, and they can quote it. That doesn't make you holy. That doesn't make you good in and of itself. What's your motivation? What's your motivation? Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it pride? What is it? We need, brothers and sisters, to do, as I've often said on this program, we need to do the right things for the right reasons. And only the Holy Spirit can enable us to do that. Only He can purify us. Only He can give us the strength to make the necessary choices, to choose God's way rather than our own, to choose God's values and God's priorities rather than ours. Remember I said yesterday, He kept trying to take the disciples aside, take them away, so that He could instruct them and so that they had time to grow in intimacy with Him, in friendship, deep friendship, that they became in a certain sense family. Very real sense, family. As I said the other day on the program, you need time alone with Jesus. You can't live the Christian life without it. And certainly not today, where you're being bombarded with every lie and every half-truth that's conceivable, I swear. And if you can't distinguish, if you can't discern, you're going to be swept away. You need the Word of God. Read the Catechism if you've never read it. Get it and read it step by step, section by section. You will be amazed at how much in there is inspiring. The Catechism was written. It was written under John Paul's direction. It was mainly written by Cardinal Schoenborn, who's a cardinal in Austria right now. And when you read that, you know that God is teaching His people. He's helping us to understand what He's about. There's a whole section in there on prayer, just personal prayer, which is so important. Section on the Eucharist, so important. Sections on relationships. The commandments cover relationships a lot from all different angles. Read it. Ask God for the grace. Lord, let me in this coming year just change two things, that I may more and more draw closer to You and more clearly be Your disciple. Ask God for the grace. He will give it. He will show you the way. Because, brothers and sisters, here's the wonderful thing. God desires intimacy with you more than you do. God desires it. And if God desires it, and He has all the power, He will never force. You would never force somebody. He will never force. But He will make it available to you. Question is, will you reach out for it? God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.